For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ich warte seit Wochen auf diesen Tag und tanz vor Freude über den Asphalt, als wär's sein Rhythmus, als gäb's sein Lied, das mich immer weiter durch die Straßen zieht. Komm dir entgegen.
Hallo und welcome to Gegenpressing, the Bundesliga podcast. I'm Manu Feit, he's Stefan Biankowski, and also he is Matt Ford. Hey guys, how's it going? How has the Bundesliga match day been treating you, Stefan?
Yeah, good. Another fantastic weekend of action. I actually just wanted to give a quick shout out to Sky Sports in the UK, bizarrely, because sometimes when they can't be arsed sticking the game on their actual TV channels, they'll just show it live on YouTube. Which means when I have to walk the dog at halftime and I miss the first 5 or 10 minutes, I can watch it on my phone. But because it's on YouTube, I can actually close the phone and listen to the audio as if it's like radio commentary, which I really enjoy. And because we're lucky that we have the World Feed and other great commentators from that, it sounds like I'm listening to the old wireless, listening to the radio. So a weird kind of consequence of maybe just sheer neglect, but I've enjoyed it. So that's been my kind of, that's been my highlight of the weekend.
A random shout out to Sky. Matt, how's it going with you?
Yeah, I thought last week in Darmstadt was cold, but Cologne yesterday topped it. They were down to like, well, -8 at one point in the morning, enjoying the game about -4, -3. But nevertheless, wonderful day. Blue skies, white snow everywhere, full house in Cologne, Dortmund, the visitors, really good atmosphere. Good second half, first half not so good, but we'll talk about that later. So yeah, really really cold, but really good, life-affirming Saturday of football. Enjoyed it.
Fantastic, yeah, absolutely. There's lots to discuss. We're doing this on the back of the Bayern Munich game. So yeah, the chat, our Substack chat, if you're not a subscriber yet, you can jump on our Substack and chat with all the other subscribers about the Bundesliga match day. And it's still going. I still get the notifications on my phone. It's just been going crazy. So yeah, lots of like-minded Bundesliga fans there, and a lot more civilized of a discussion than you see on some social media channels that shall not be named here. Guys, as I said, lots to discuss, so let's jump into it right after this break. This episode of the Gegenpressing podcast is brought to you by BetOnline. With the NFL playoffs in full swing and the NBA season in midway, at the midway point, BetOnline has you covered with all the up-to-second odds, news, and scores. With additional art lines, trends, and info on both desktop and mobile, you can access the world's best wagering information anytime. Head there today to get into the action, see all the updated odds. Remember to use the promo code BELIEVE, that is B-L-E-A-V, BELIEVE, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts. Yeah, Matt, before we get into the match day action, I think there was a little bit piece of news that you wanted to mention about Kai Bernstein, the president of Hertha Berlin, tragic death last week. This was their first game since the news came out. Obviously, Hertha is still a bit in turmoil, is maybe not the right word, but in the grieving process, trying to sort out the club's future. The funeral was today, I believe, right, Matt? You wanted to mention something about this.
Yeah, much as we were saying how, well, what an exciting Bundesliga match day it's been, what an exciting weekend in German football it's been. It's also been overshadowed by absolutely awful, horrible, shocking news early this week on Tuesday morning when, absolutely out of the blue, Hertha BSC announced that their club president, Kai Bernstein, had suddenly passed away, aged just 43. Shocking news. Bernstein had been in the job at Hertha since June 2022, so only about a year and a half into the job. And he was elected as very much a breath of fresh air. I mean, if anyone's followed the news even briefly, they would have read that he came from the fan base. He came from the hardcore support. He was a founder member of Hertha Berlin's ultra group, Harlequins Berlin, back in 1998. So very much an ultra of the very first generation in German football, an influential figure, not just at Hertha, not just in Berlin, but in German football, German fan culture as a whole, and even more so by rising to the rank of club president. You mentioned Hertha being in turmoil. Yeah, they absolutely were. We've probably discussed the whole situation with Lars Windhorst and the investments, and et cetera, topic for itself. But under Bernstein, there absolutely were little tiny green shoots and signs that Hertha Berlin could be following what he always called the Berliner Weg, the Berlin Way, and an attempt to bring Hertha Berlin back closer to its supporters, to the city, and recover after tumultuous years. And that process has been quite short. Indeed, has Kai Bernstein's life. There was a march today before their home game against Dusseldorf. I think about 7,000 people took part in a march to the stadium. There's been messages of support across Germany in German football. Yeah, a towering figure and very, very upsetting news.
Yeah, very, very sad. Obviously, he had a 2-2 against Fortuna today. Players celebrating Kai Bernstein's life whenever they scored. Very sad. Let's move from that. We're going to do this backwards today. We're going to start with the game that's fresh in our heads. We're recording this Sunday, literally like 20 minutes after the Bayern Werder Bremen game ended. This was Werder Bremen's first win at the Allianz Arena since 2008. First time in 4 years Bayern haven't scored at the Allianz. Stefan, I kind of feel this result has been coming for Bayern because they had a couple games. The Hoffenheim game wasn't good. The Köln game before the winter break where they won 1-0 but didn't really do much either wasn't good. I kind of feel like this result has been coming from a team that just kind of looks tired and jaded.
Yeah, I think that's a good way of putting it. It was such a bizarre performance from Bayern because leading into it, there was all this talk about their winter training in Portugal and the team building exercises and how that was going to fix all their problems. Not to mention the fact that they just had an extended period of time off, obviously due to the winter break. And like a lot of teams, actually, we've seen in the Bundesliga, we saw it maybe with Leipzig last week, and we'll also talk about them later in the show, but it feels a lot like a lot of these teams are just coming back from that time off and not a lot has really changed, and that's certainly the case with Bayern. the thing that really struck me in this game was that obviously Bremen played really well, both defensively and the way they were set up to counter-attack. You know, they had so much pace up front, but Mitchell Weiser in particular, like even long before he scored that goal really, in the first half actually as well, he was just really bombing down that right wing, and it was obvious that, you know, Bremen were making a point of, you know, exposing the gaps that Bayern were leaving behind them, which was behind Davies and the lack of kind of space behind De Ligt, or rather the lack of speed behind De Ligt. And they broke through a number of times, and they were and Bayern were really asking for trouble. But from a Bayern point of view, what really kind of concerned me was the fact that they just kind of went through the motions, it felt to me. They were very slow with their passing. They were very sloppy with their passing as well. That's the thing that really struck me as well. A lot of the passes just went straight out of the pitch, and it didn't go to the people they went to. And when they did, it was really, really basic stuff. It was back to front, that kind of, you know, that kind of metronome, that's the word. That metronomic passing from just kind of side to side from Goretzka and Kimmich. And I think they were just kind of expecting Bremen to crumble, and they never did. And it asked serious questions of Bayern's attack, and they weren't able to really do anything about it. And, you know, you can argue about the XG and stuff. This is the poorest XG they've had all season. I think it stood at 1.5 when I checked. Their worst XG so far this season was 2.0 against Heidenheim, which they surprisingly won 4-2 at the Allianz Arena. So considerably lower than just about any time. It's the first time in like a bazillion years that they haven't scored at home. And yeah, they just look jaded, tired, and all out of ideas.
Yeah, Matt, do you agree with that?
I do, and I'm surprised that they look the way they did, because surely after having, as Stefan was hinting at, after having the winter break and then I think a four-day break in the sunshine in the south of Portugal, to come back looking so tired and, yeah, so heavy-legged was very surprising. A classic case, really, of being unable to break down a deep-line defence. You know, let's not take anything away from Werder Bremen at all. Came with a game plan, sat very, very deep, very, very disciplined, very well organised. A couple of decent saves from Michel Zetterer in goal. You need that. You need a bit of luck. You also need a bit of quality in goal to get away with it. And they absolutely did. They had options on the break. You mentioned Njinma and Weiser, the outlets that they provided. But it's difficult. I think probably one of the most difficult situations for any team to find themselves in, having all that possession and having to break down those two deep lying bags. It really is difficult, whether you're playing against the top team in the Champions League doing it, or whether you're playing against bottom half Bundesliga opposition, or even lower down, two banks of four are hard to break down. Bayern were very narrow. I found that strange. They consistently insisted on playing through these very narrow, tight central areas where I thought they were getting absolutely nowhere. I thought some of the bits of joy they did have when they did actually move out wide put crosses in, particularly to when they had promoting on as well. But even then, nothing was really coming. You had the Harry Kane header, which came back across the face with goal, and no one was there. Matthijs Tel drew a great save from Zetterer onto the post later on. Apart from that, I can't really think of any other major opportunities that they really created. So really blunt and uninspiring performance, Bill.
Yeah, I mean, if you're really honest, Werder Bremen scored twice.
In similar fashion,
right? A Ninja goal in the first half that, which I actually think should have stood. I do think it's a foul on Musiala, but I don't think that is the sort of game deciding moments we brought VAR in for. It's not offside. It's not a penalty. It's not the ball didn't cross the goal line by 2 centimeters. It's a tiny foul in the build-up, which is, again, not what we brought VAR in for. So I actually think that goal should have stood. It also kind of illustrates how well Werder Bremen did hit Bayern Munich in transition. And there were some opportunities that they created even, you know, after they scored the goal. Of course, the last 10, 15 minutes, it was all Bayern Munich passing the ball around the box, having all that possession. But it felt kind of almost like meaningless possession. And you know what I thought was really interesting, and we've talked about this in the bonus show last week, I think, Stefan, when we talked about strikers, is like when a team's going to figure out that if they shut down the pipeline between Leroy Sané and Harry Kane, they effectively end Harry Kane's hot streak. And you could see that there. They isolated the two from one another, and then all of a sudden this attack goes lame.
Yeah, I thought Matt made a really good point about how narrow Bayern were playing, and it's almost like they play into their own kind of faults at times, because we've seen so much this season, and really since Kane joined the club, the way that Tuchel has tried to accommodate all these players is he's more or less played Sané and Musiala almost like second strikers off Kane. At times they're almost like on either shoulder of him really when Bayern line up, and obviously that can work to devastating effect. We saw a few times, it did work a few times when they played like 1-2-3s or 1-2s on the edge of the Bremen box, and someone like Jung would come in with a last minute challenge. But yeah, that works really well, and maybe that's kind of something that will work for them superbly well in the Champions League when more attacking teams come at them. But it does feel like that's kind of like their plan A, B and C. And I think it's quite telling if you kind of look at which players have got the most assists for Bayern this season. You've got Leroy Sané sitting on 11, Harry Kane sitting with 8. Then it's Thomas Müller on 7, and he's only paid 867 minutes, which is about less than half what you'd expect from a player who's obviously a starter. And, you know, Müller is more or less a kind of super sub this season. But the fact that Müller has more assists than Coman and Musiala combined, I think is quite telling. Coman in particular actually feels to me like a real victim of this new system, of these new tactics. Doesn't really seem to know what he's doing in this team. Whether, you know, because it felt in previous iterations of Bayern, particularly with Hansi Flick, he was a very direct player, but he knew exactly what to do. You get to the line, swing the ball in, there was Lewandowski waiting for it, or if he was playing on the left, he knew how to play a 1-2 with someone. In this team, he seems like a complete afterthought. Similarly, Alphonso Davies, a complete shadow of the player he once was. I mean, you could kind of pick apart his defensive play for that goal, which I think in a lot of ways does kind of sum up almost how half-hearted he feels at times for Bayern this season. But even in an attacking sense, he just kind of strikes me as a player who's just kind of going through the motions, doesn't have any clear instructions as to what to do. And as Matt says, it feels like the entire team is built around getting the ball into that kind of danger zone on the kind of semicircle of the Bremen box. But, you know, if the opponents kind of stack that with two lines of defence, then, you know, Bayern do struggle. And it's going to be a really interesting kind of couple of days now, because we're not that far off the period when Nagelsmann got sacked. Okay, maybe about 6 or 7 weeks, 8 weeks. But, you know, Bayern decided to kind of pull the trigger of Nagelsmann after he was undefeated in Champions League, and he was just, I think, 2 points off the top of the table. And now look where Bayern are right now. That's 2 defeats in the last 5 games, I think. Not exactly, you know, a team pushing for the Champions League this season. There's nothing to say they can't win it, but I don't think many people can consider them among the favourites, considering their form. And as you said, Matt, at the top of the show, like, the Bayern fans in our kind of subscriber chat were going off their heads. And for week after week, we do hear them saying, look, this isn't fun to watch, it's not entertaining, and how is this any better than what we had under Nagelsmann?
I think we said a couple of times at the start of the season when criticism of Bayern came up that we said, well, in mitigation for Thomas Tuchel, they had a bit of a car crash of a summer transfer window, which left them short all across the squad. And I remember making the argument myself on several occasions that, you know, let's just wait until January then, and let's see where they are when it comes to the business end of the season for Bayern. We're approaching it now. Knockout stage of the Champions League. You know, they came from the group with flying colours. Knockout stage of the Champions League around the corner. Title race really picking up in earnest. They're now 7 points behind Leverkusen, albeit with that game in hand. Is that this week, I believe, isn't it? At home to Union? Is it Tuesday or Wednesday this
24th.
Week?
24th, yes.
Yeah, that'll be, can't do the maths, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Wednesday?
Midweek. Yeah. and they go into this stage of the season, at least as it stands, not having made those additions. Okay, obviously Dyer arrived, okay, I think that's sensible, absolutely. Is it the midfield anchor creative player that they so sorely lack to add to creativity from midfield? no. And obviously, we've got a few days left yet in January. Who knows what they might do? But yeah, I think that sort of mitigating argument that we used is, yeah, slowly getting to the point where it's not, it's no longer valid. And interesting to see where they go. Also, one last thing: is it fair to say that, and maybe nitpick it a bit, that was Harry Kane's worst performance to Bayern?
Yes, yeah, that's fair to say. I want to move this on to the next game, and there's some really interesting points that both of you guys made. Bayern Munich, and this needs to be pointed out, their current points per game average is 2.41. So with all the negative, this is still a breath, like this is still a breathtaking pace that they're taking there. Unfortunately for them, there's another team that plays a very similar style of football in many, many, many regards. For some reason, it just seems to be a bit more quicker, a bit more direct, a bit more fruitful. And that's Bayer Leverkusen, whose points per game average is an incredible 2.66 per game, which is incredible. You know, every other year, Bayern Munich would be probably sitting 10 points ahead of the table, and we would be complaining about them playing the boring football and winning games and, yes, dropping points here and there. Unfortunately for them, this year, there seems to be a real opponent there. Stefan, this game between Leipzig and Bayer Leverkusen was an incredible advertising for the Bundesliga and the football that can be played there. And I actually also think, made a few points there, Leipzig do really well when they can hit teams on the transition. But what really, really impressed me was that despite all of that, Leverkusen stuck with their game plan. And the moment they took control over the game, they took in terms of the midfield possession, in terms of Xhaka and Palacios really inserting themselves, they just slowly but surely played Leipzig off the park. And, you know, this is a Leipzig side that really can hurt teams that, you know, is going to maybe to go to Real Madrid and might even hurt them. This was a really, really positive performance for Leverkusen.
Yeah, I mean, I'd go so far as say maybe the performance of the season, aside from maybe that draw against Bayern Munich at the start of the year. And, you know, you talk about fine margins and the fact that, you know, Thomas Tuchel's, you're absolutely right. I actually looked up before the start of the show. I think his points per game for Bayern in the Bundesliga is 2.41, I think, as you said, and Nagelsmann's was maybe 2.19. So, yeah, on paper, Bayern are doing everything right, but the difference is that there's a Leverkusen team here who are just going above and beyond what's expected, not just of a team in the top four, but even like a title contender or a title challenger. That fixture against Leipzig on Saturday struck me as the kind of game that Dortmund teams of the past would drop points in or potentially lose. If it makes sense, I'd expect, you know, Leipzig teams who we once kind of pitted as potential title challengers from one season to next would drop points there. But the fact that they were to come from behind twice and win that game, you know, it's an old cliche to see the kind of sign of champions, but it is, and it's something that we've seen them do time and time again. I've pulled up just to double check, and, you know, they go behind against Bayern Munich twice, managed to take a point. They go behind against Dortmund, managed to take a point. They go behind against Stuttgart, managed to take a point. And of course, in the reverse fixture against Leverkusen at the start of the season, it was the exact same result as well, with a 3-2 win. And it's these kind of big games where they not only kind of match these teams, you know, man for man across the pitch, but play their style of football and in each instance, you know, eventually kind of grab control of the match and, you know, go on to win it. And we were saying that when we were, you know, in the chat, we're like, yes, Leipzig started the game tremendously well. They exposed a Leverkusen backline that are clearly missing some players. Not to mention the fact that Patrick Schick really didn't offer as much, I thought, on and off the ball, as Boniface. But despite all that, you know, Leverkusen stuck to the system, and that system was able to kind of help them basically just grind down this Leipzig team. And yeah, it was immensely impressive. And I think that what I said in the chat was, you know, Bayer look a lot like Bayern these days.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode of the Gegenpressing Podcast is brought to you by BetOnline. With the NFL playoffs in full swing and the NBA season in midway point, BetOnline has you covered with all the up-to-second odds, news, and scores. With additional odd lines, trends, and info on both desktop and mobile, you can access the world's best wagering information anytime. Head there today to get into the action, see all the updated odds. Remember to use the promo code BELIEVE, that is B-L-E-A-V, BELIEVE, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. What it looked like Bayern did in 2015 under Pep Guardiola, right? It's the same than what Bayern play right now, only that the final end product is a little bit more proactive. And I've spoken to coaches about this, what the real difference is, and it's about moving the ball quickly in the penalty box that makes a difference here, right? Bayern Munich still have all the possession. They still manage to play the ball around the box. They're able to contain a team inside that box. But when you look at if you want to know the difference between Bayern against Bremen and why Bayern lost the game, and Leverkusen against Leipzig and why Leverkusen won their game, is because they are able to quickly move the ball in the box. But also, and you see that on the corner kicks, right? That they just have a better presence there and able to run into the space more precisely. And those are the small differences here, right? If you have two ball possession teams that are doing really well, you want to compare to them and want to see why one is able to break down an opponent and why one isn't. That is sometimes the small margins that you deal with. And Leverkusen have done this really well. A good example is also the late goal by, I think it was Palacios, right, against Augsburg, where they just are able to keep moving the ball inside the box until they find that free space. And when you break down this Leverkusen game and watch it closely, then that's what you see. And I think that's what Bayern at the moment are currently lacking. You take the last few chances that they missed, the Tell one, for example. He rather than trying to move the ball and trying to find an open man, he takes a shot and the shot goes wide, right? So it's really those small little differences at the moment, I think, that strike me. Stefan, I think it's going to be fascinating to see what they're going to do when Palacios is out. He's out now with an injury for a few weeks, it looks like. It's a muscle injury. That's a bad news. The positive news is that Grimaldo, he also suffered an injury, but he should be back very quickly. Without Palacios, potentially in the Pokal and potentially against Bayern Munich, that's going to be difficult.
Yeah, absolutely. He's been outstanding for them. The way that he just kind of wins balls on and off the ball, wins challenges was incredible. He was outstanding in that game. And, you know, I'm a big fan of Robert Andrić, but he is notably slower. He plays a different style of football. He can't get around the pitch as much. So we will have to see from that. I'll let Matt jump in a minute because I know he hasn't said anything on this, but all I would add is that, you know, it's maybe unfair to kind of boil these two teams down to just star players, but the way that Florian Wirtz played in that game was incredible, and just not just obviously in terms of his technical ability and the way he's able to create chances and goals, but it's going to make me sound like such an old man, but I just loved the way he got stuck in as well. He had defenders bouncing off him, and he was winning interceptions and winning tackles, and he just feels like he's at the absolute top of his game right now. You could see the confidence just kind of glowing off him. And to kind of compare him to Musiala, who, you know, I don't want to be too unfair on Musiala, he's still a young player, he's still learning his trade, of course, but he became so important so quickly to that Bayern team. And it feels to me like the difference between these two teams right now is that one's got their playmaker at the top of his game and one of them don't. And sometimes those little margins are all it takes to win a title.
And I do. I've not got too much to add on the game. I didn't see. I've only seen the highlights packages. I joined the halftime of the Bayern game. What stood out though was that I think last time we spoke about RB, we mentioned a couple of issues that we have to sort out. One was efficiency and clinicalness in front of goal. I feel like they actually made some good steps towards that. At least for what I could see. Particularly with Xavi Simmons on the sort of form that he was. I mean, anyone who's not seen that opening goal, that touch, turn and shot in just inside the box is absolutely phenomenal. Having him on the form will be absolutely key. And the return of Dani Olmo, I think, in the starting 11, I'm guessing for the first time since his injury, he came on as a sub last week against Frankfurt, didn't he? And that assist for the, what must be the second goal,
was it Bender, second? I think. Yeah. The counter attack from the corner.
Yeah, exactly. The counter. Yeah, the assist from Dani Olmo. That was actually, I thought, reminiscent of Nkunku for Frankfurt on the same pitch last week. Maybe not quite as wide as Nkunku was, but yeah, absolutely inch perfect. So against another sign of the different level of quality that Dani Olmo brings. So in that department, I think they are making some progress there. But the glaring errors at the back really need sorting out. They're going to keep costing them. The second and the third goal of Leverkusen come up with effectively the same situation. Poor marking at the back post, and that's going to absolutely need sorting out. Otherwise, I mean, when you look at two defeats from two. Meanwhile, Borussia Dortmund have won two from two, and that gap has been completely wiped out.
Great transition, Matt, because we're going to go to that game. Because you were
why you came. That's why you came to me.
That's why
you
came to you, yes.
Maru, can I make one final point, Leipzig, before we do it? I just want to say a shout out to Benjamin Sesko, who I thought was incredible in this game. His kind of darting move before the first goal, where he kind of turns Jonathan Tah, was almost reminiscent of Messi against Boateng, I thought. The way that Tah's been having probably his best season in a long time. You could just see, like, when central defenders find themselves out there at the sideline, like, what the hell am I doing here? I'm up against a winger or a wide forward, and Sesko made him pay for it. But we were just saying during the game, like, when you watch that guy play, he looks like a striker who's just capable of just about anything. He's got the speed to go past players. He's got the technique to go past players. He can finish in the box. And he's also so damn tall. He was winning header after header after header throughout that game. He looks like an absolute beast. And it'll be interesting to see...
they could do with using him at the back defending set pieces because they could give him some help, don't they?
absolutely. But I
have a lot of time. I was just gonna say I have a lot of time for Benjamin Sesko. I mean, I spoke to him earlier this season, right? And we talked about, among other things, that he almost became a professional basketball player, and I think that's why he moves the way he does, Stefan. Despite his height and all that, he's not clumsy at all. Very dynamic. The one thing he needs to still do is score goals. a striker ultimately will be measured by the goals he scores, and I think that's a department that he will have to work on. But oh boy, the moment he starts putting those things away, Leipzig have a complete player there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really looking forward to Leverkusen Bayern in a couple of weeks' time. Now it's getting closer. That's going to be some game.
And
crucially
it's in Leverkusen as well, which would be a big thing because how many times have we seen Dortmund making one of these kind of half-arsed title challenges that all comes down to that game at the Allianz Arena where, I mean, I've been there at least twice, I think, where they just kind of completely capitulate. But Leverkusen don't really have that. They have to go to Dortmund, which could be an interesting game. I think that's maybe four or five games before the end of the season. But if Leverkusen can avoid defeat in that game against Bayern, then you're really struggling to see where they're dropping points between now and May, except for maybe that Dortmund match.
Yeah, and Bayern will drop points too. That's a great transition to Dortmund, and I'm going to not have anyone rob my transition to Dortmund this time. Matt, you were at the Dortmund game. It's another convincing performance against a very dire-looking Köln team. I thought they started the game really well. Then the coins came flying. I don't think we have the times today to talk about ultras, because if I go on about ultras, the Stefan will not be able to finish this podcast in time. So we'll shelf this for another day. But
I think we should just do a bonus show of you and Matt debating it for an hour long. Call it question time or something, and just you two can university debate rules.
I'm also being this is mid-January. I'm super exhausted. It wasn't a great Christmas, so I'm super jaded at the moment as it is. So maybe it's just a good time for me. To do this after my holiday in the beginning of February, Stefan, when I don't yell at people for no reason. But Stefan, am I at the game, the Dortmund game, the actual game? Let's talk about that. You kind of were shaking your head when I said that it was a good start for Dortmund. What do you think?
Yeah, I was shaking my head. Maybe you saying it was another convincing performance. No, it was another convincing result.
That's probably the better way of putting it.
Yeah, I'm going to sort of repeat the poor journalist issue that I had last week, having to criticize a 3-0 win. Now we're going to try and criticize a 4-0 win. It's starting to sound a bit ridiculous. And if anyone from Borussia Dortmund listens to this, they must be thinking, they can't please me. I don't think it was a good start, but the first half was carbon copy of the first half in Darmstadt. Absolutely rubbish. I know you mentioned about the flow being taken out of the game by the anti-DFL protest. My response to that,
I stick to that.
I don't think there was much flow at all. Very similar to Darmstadt last week. One single moment of inventiveness. In Darmstadt, it was Jamie Vanagittens making that bursting run down the right set up Brandt. This time it was Brandt again involved, really creative set piece, pulling the corner back edge of the box. They clearly worked on that on the training ground, and Marlon with a good finish. Apart from that, no, I thought it was very much of the same. Thought Cologne, we'll come on to Cologne a bit later, but yeah, Cologne half decent in possession, offering nothing else, and Dortmund relatively poor at half time. One colleague in the press box, he'd actually found out at short notice that he didn't actually have to do any work at all on that day. However, he still had his accreditation. So we turned up anyway, and he just came back and said, this is nothing to do with football. I'm going back to the pub. And that was at half time. And he watches Dortmund a lot, so he wasn't particularly impressed either. And pretty happy that he didn't actually have to work, so he had an excuse to get away from it. Unfortunately for him, it got a lot better in the second half. And I think at this point, we start offering some praise for Borussia Dortmund. Jadon Sancho, who had been absolutely anonymous in the first half, and I mean anonymous, he'd been pretty much kept in check by Rasmus Carstensen, Cologne right back. But in the second half, he darted into the box, beats Jeff Chabot, beats Carstensen, then gets dragged down. We were saying before, I've not actually seen a replay of this since. We've definitely seen from my position up in the gods in Cologne that there were arms around stomach. I don't know how easily he's then fallen. Some suggestions that he was a bit soft, but I would suggest it probably was a foul.
I think it's a penalty.
What do you think? Yeah,
I think it's a penalty. Here's why. Because, yeah, it's a little soft, but you're an idiot as a defender if you go like that to a player, putting you both your arms around. You know, it's the sort of thing that you call because the defender is clumsy in his defending, not because the striker is being taken down.
Yeah. How many times have we seen this, though, with Jadon Sancho in the Bundesliga? He's not, to me, a player who has outstanding top speed. You know, he's not like an Alphonso Davies or Timo Werner, maybe, who, you know, once they get really going, they can pull away from a defender. He's the kind of guy who can get away over 2 or 3 yards. And
yeah, he has a quick burst over a short distance, doesn't he?
Move the ball.
Yeah, and I think one of the best tricks in his toolbox or his toolkit, whatever you want to call it, is drawing in defender and pulling away from them. And at times, you know, sometimes he can do that and create a chance or a goal, but half the time it just draws in a penalty because he's so quick. And he's obviously very comfortable doing that. But yeah, it's really interesting. It's such a fascinating time for Dortmund right now because, you know, you'd argue that they probably couldn't have got two easier opponents to play. Darmstadt and Cologne, the two worst teams in the Bundesliga right now. They've then got an interesting clash against Bochum and then Heidenheim, Freiburg and Wolfsburg. And you know, you could argue there's only maybe one team in that who are actually a top six, top seven side who are willing to kind of give Dortmund or attempt to give Dortmund a bloody nose. I know Heidenheim away, it's not an easy fixture this season, but it'll be interesting to see what Dortmund do here, because they could almost kind of sleepwalk into a really decent run of form. Before they, I mean, they're not really facing another kind of top six side until Frankfurt, which is in March. And, you know, it, maybe that gives Terzic enough time to kind of figure out what he wants to do with his team, where Sancho slots in, who he wants to play up front. Second week in a row that Moukoko's came on and really impressed, if I'm not mistaken. And he's asking questions as well. So, as Matt says, you know, you don't want to be too harsh when, you know, a team has scored seven goals in the last 2 weeks, but you also don't want to see Dortmund maybe thinking, oh well, you know, we've solved all our problems and we're going to go in a fantastic run of form, because you can imagine when they come up against a decent team, we might see some of the same old problems.
What is noticeable about Dortmund this year, and again, the caveat is that it's only been Darmstadt and it's only been Cologne, it's at least with the return of Jadon Sancho and the slight return to form of Daniel Marlon. He had a quiet first half of the season, but he's now got you know, scored two goals against Cologne. We were speaking to Niklas Füllkrug about this after the game, but how Dortmund have suddenly have a bit more variety going forward. You're no longer having those debates about, you know, they have to get a Sebastian Allaire or indeed an Anthony Modeste or indeed a Füllkrug in because they need that one man up front. They're not entirely reliant on subs off the bench, although that is still happening. They're not entirely reliant on Daniel Marlon suddenly being on the form, although that is also happening. They don't just have the trickiness of Jadon Sancho. There does seem to me to be there to be, yeah, the first like green shoots of Dortmund having some tactical variability going forward, which I think is something which we've often criticised them for under Terzic, and I think rightly so. And that's, yeah, that's clearly been on show with seven goals in two games. It seems to be a good atmosphere, a good mood in the camp. It was reported that from a colleague's pitch side that after the foul on Sancho was shouting, give me the ball. He wanted to take the pen, but it's pretty clear that Niklas Füllkrug pulled rank on that occasion, plotted it away. He was asked, and Füllkrug made no bones about it afterwards. He said, no, of course Jadon wanted to take it, but we have a ranking. I believe the ranking is Chan, then Royce, and then perhaps Füllkrug, although Füllkrug was at pains to point out, even if those two are on the pitch, I'm up there as well. It wasn't my first pen. So he was quite keen to point out. But good to see that those sort of debates, those sorts of like mini arguments are taking place in the squad. All seems quite content and quite amenable around Dortmund at the moment. Like I said, Daniel Marlon being back on form is a massive boost. Youssouf Moukoko off the bench again. So suddenly, where we've criticised Dortmund for having no plan going forward, they actually seem to have goals coming from all sorts of areas. The caveat, like you said, two poor teams, and they have got a run of, on paper, relatively easy fixtures coming up. Maybe that's what they need. You know, they'll be hoping that come that Frankfurt game and a few tougher fixtures, they'll have worked on that offensive variability a bit more, to the point where we can genuinely talk about them as not just having convincing results, but convincing performances as well. And they might be on the right path. And I say that as the one who's been quite critical of them this year.
Yeah. It's fascinating to watch too, because I guess the pressure is off them as well, because it's all Leverkusen and Bayern at the top. You know,
that might be very much part of it, yeah.
Yeah. You know, the attention isn't really there at the moment, because no one expects Dortmund to do anything this season. They're going to probably finish in the top four, and that'd be that, because everyone is focused on Leverkusen and Bayern.
Yeah. Well, the fact that Stuttgart have also lost two games, not just RB, Stuttgart have also lost two. And suddenly, yeah, Dortmund are absolutely well in it again.
Yeah, I think I said that in our group chat, actually, the results really suited Dortmund this season. This weekend, only thing I wanted to add to that is just you know, Matt talking about Sancho doing well and stuff, is that is the kind of good side to Eden Terzic. We do talk about that a lot. Maybe tactically he's a little green behind the ears, but there's no doubt that these players do love playing for him. And the fact that Sancho and Mattsson, who we haven't really shined a light on, have done so well since... I mean, I know Sancho's maybe been quite quiet, but the fact that Terzic feels comfortable just putting them straight in and they're quite comfortable just kind of slotting and doing well for him is credit to Terzic. It's always been his strongest suit at Dortmund, that maybe the tactics don't quite work out, maybe the systems don't work out, and they don't always get results, but there's never really any doubt that those players all enjoy playing for him.
Nice little touch, actually, I think, from Mattsson when we were speaking to Phil de Klerk and also Gregor Kobel in the mix zone. The two of them, and fair play, and the two of them spoke to us for quite a while at length, a good sort of 6 or 7 minutes each. And Ian Mattsson, and there's no obligation on him at all to do this, especially as a new arrival on loan, stood there waiting patiently before insisting that he was brought over to the written press by one of Dortmund's media team to be introduced and have a chat and introduce himself. I thought that was an impressive little touch from someone who absolutely didn't have to do that at all.
Mm, yeah, he has a 42 million euro exit clause that kicks in next summer.
Maybe he wants to stay.
He probably does, but can Dortmund spend 42 million euros on a left back?
I mean, they spent 30 million euros on several fairly average strikers in recent years. No?
That's a good point. And I think actually Mattsson would be the kind of player that they really need. He looks like...
Just like in Darmstadt, he was, again, very good against... But also, at times, I don't think it was really part of the plan, but he seemed to slot into midfield a few times as well, which I noticed. Another really mature performance, really good addition.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, guys, we have to wrap it up. I know, Stefan, you have to run. We're doing this on a Sunday, sandwiched between different appointments. So this was a quick roundup show. Don't worry, there will be lots of podcasts still coming your way this week. We have 3 more scheduled. So if this was a little shorter than usual, we have plenty coming your way. Make sure to read Matt's match report or match roundup from the Dortmund game. It's on the Substack. There's some great content from last week as well, if you haven't caught up to that yet as well. This show is always brought to you by Bet Online. Guys, this was great. We'll be back soon. Until then, auf Wiedersehen.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know that project you've been working on, just chipping away at it, dreaming of the day you get to show it off? Then, when you're least expecting it, cancer. And finishing that project actually happens. I would know. I've been restoring this car for years, and today I'm giving it to my granddaughter. It's her 16th birthday and 2 years since my cancer diagnosis.
Mom, you finished it?
Happy birthday, boo-boo. You keep making plans.
Visit ohiohealth.com/keepmakingplans to learn more.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.